no matter what the sport, where it's played, or the teams behind it. We've got it. This is the Water Boys.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Water Boys for another Saturday morning. Brent Costello here with you and fresh from our new rotation, really relaxed after a week off. I welcome back Cameron Brown. How are you, Brent?
Yeah, going really well this morning, Brent, and good to be back.
Lovely to see you and plenty to talk about this morning. But before we do, let's go through some of the results from overnight and slip up for St Kilda. Brisbane heading towards a top four spot with a win at Marvel Stadium, 12-9-81 to the Saints, 9-12-66. What about the NRL, Brent?
Two matches last night, Brent. The Warriors 42 defeated the Bulldogs 18 and the Rabbitohs thrashed the Eels 26-0. Two matches in the NPL last night too, Brent. Kingborough 4 defeated Clarence Zebras 2 and it was a 2-2 draw between Riverside Olympic and Launceston City.
Very nice. And a WSL match last night too. Clarence 3 getting the job done over Kingborough 1. And NBL 1 last night. I tuned in for this and it was a great match between the Hobart Chargers and Northwest Thunder, the Intrastate Derby. A lot of Jack Jumpers players running around in that. But it was the Chargers locking in top spot after the home and away season, 87-83 over the Thunder. Earlier, we farewelled Kylie McCauley, who's been a long-time servant for the Hobart Chargers, but unfortunately for them, they couldn't get the job done. Despite leading for the majority of the game, it was a come-from-behind win for Launceston Tornadoes, 76-67. Big week in sport, Brownie, and it is a golden edition of the Water Boys this morning. We're going to catch up with a couple of our gold medalists from Birmingham. Eddie Ockenden and Georgia Baker will join us here in the first hour. We'll also have a look at the week that was. And Matilda Smith, one of our star swimmers, will join us as well ahead of her duel in the pool coming up in Sydney later this week. Run us through hour number two, please, Cameron.
Yeah, Brent, Michael Cassidy is going to be joining us on the line, the Lindisfarne football coach. They're flying at the moment too, so be interesting to talk to Cass. And also Huey Williams, really looking forward to having a conversation with him today ahead of his 200th game. What a stalwart he's been for the North Hobart Footy Club.
He certainly has. Also, give away $100 to spend at Intersport with our Good Sport Award, thanks to McDonald's. We'll have a look at the Time Warp, open the birthday book, and preview lots of sport happening across the state this weekend. That's all coming up for you over the next couple of hours here on the Water Boys. Doing it all thanks to McDonald's right across Tasmania.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the MyMacca's app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year. Time for this now.
Reflecting on sport from the past 7 days, here's the Water Boys week that was.
Lots to talk about, plenty in the world of AFL, but we'll talk about that a little later on in our AFL segment. So I want to start with Serena Williams, Cam, because she has been an absolute superstar and, of course, announced her retirement. Well, didn't really announce her retirement. She used some different sort of language during the week to say she's moving away from tennis.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember some of the wording that she did use, Brent, having a break. It wasn't a break anyway. It was a strange sort of commentary around it. But what a star she's been, the age of 40, that she's going to move away from tennis. 24 Grand Slams. And probably in the end couldn't quite get equal or overtake Margaret Court. Actually, 23 for Serena, wasn't it? And including seven Wimbledons and an Olympic gold medal. And you almost forget, too, 16 Grand Slams in doubles with her sister, Venus Williams, and a couple of gold medals there. So she'll go out and have a big event. They'll get right behind her, you would have thought, at Arthur Ashe Stadium ahead of the US Open in a couple of weeks' time, Brent.
No doubt about it. She has been a superstar, and well done to her on a great career, and hopefully there's a little bit more left in her to come. Hey, what about Cam Smith and the LIV Golf, Brownie? Have you been following this closely? Because, gee, there's a lot of money being thrown around, but Cam Smith has been really cagey about it, I reckon.
He bristled during the week when there's been media speculation that he's going to sign or has signed and hasn't come out and announced it yet. But he was pretty emphatic that when he has some news, it'll be him making that commentary, not somebody else. But what's been reported, Brent, is something like $140 million to join the LIV Greg Norman Golf, which is extraordinary money, isn't it?
I don't know what you do with that sort of... I mean, I'm sure there's ways you can find to use it, but...
I'll find a way, Brent.
It just seems an extraordinary amount, doesn't it? But, no doubt that's going to be the worst-kept secret in golf when it does get announced whenever it does. Some sad news for cricket during the week, Brandy. It's been a sad and tragic 12 to 24 months for cricket, but Rudy Kurtzen, who's a world-famous umpire, passed away during the week. Another big loss for the game.
Yeah, no pun intended, but they called him slow death, didn't they, because of the time it took for him to raise a finger to indicate a batsman's dismissal. But it was a record at the time, 108 tests that he stood between 1992 and 2010. So, sad passing of Rudy Kurtzen, who died in a car accident on Tuesday morning.
I want to go to basketball now. We saw the Jack Jumpers have some development player trials during the week, which was great to see some of the young guns of Aussie basketball in Tasmania, included Mason Gaze, actually, who's, of course, the son of the great Andrew, one of the greatest players we've seen here in Australia. But they'll pick a few players out of that. But the other talking point during the week is Lauren Jackson and her coming to or going to play in the World Cup, which is just unbelievable to think. What is she? 41 years old, I think, and has made her way back to compete for Australia again.
Yeah, extraordinary story, that one. As you mentioned, she's about to play next month's World Cup in Sydney. No doubt I would have thought Australia's greatest women's basketballer. She retired back in 2016, Brent, so 6 or 7 years out of the game. As you mentioned, she comes back at 41 into that 12-player squad, and she's been running around for Albury Wodonga in the NBL One. So originally, I think, just wanted to get back and play basketball in front of her family, and it's led to a stunning turnaround where she's going to represent a country again.
I wish her all the very best. She is the GOAT. There's no doubt about that. If you look up her resume, quite extraordinary what she's been able to achieve. Hey, let's switch to local soccer and some big news out of the Kingborough Lions this week with Jez Kenth announcing he'll be stepping down at the end of the season. Jez has done a remarkable job since arriving at the club. They've become a real force in the NPL, and we mentioned last night they had a good win over Clarence to open the round. So he'll be missed, Jez, and they've announced that Alfred Hess will take over from him, who has been a prominent name in Tassie soccer for some time now. So that's a pretty good replacement. And I guess some other sad news during the week too, Brandy, some devastating news really, that Paul Green passed away, and only the young age of 49, a rugby league legend, of course. He coached Queensland recently, led North Queensland to a premiership back in 2015, that memorable game with Jonathan Thurston getting the golden point, of course, and also had a really good playing career too, so he'll be sadly missed.
Yeah, plenty of tributes that did come out in supporting Paul Green too, and as you mentioned, it wasn't that long ago, I think in the last 12 months, he was actually coaching the Maroons in State of Origin, so a really sad loss for him and the family.
That is the week that was. Plenty more to talk about as the show goes on. As I said in the second hour this morning, we've got lots of footy, Michael Cassidy and Hugh Williams to join us. But up next, we are switching our focus back to the Commonwealth Games. A couple of our golden stars join us. Eddie Ockenden first, then Georgia Baker. That's next here on The Water Boys, right across Tassie. Thanks to Maccas.
This is The Water Boys.
Welcome back to The Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the My Maccas app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year. Our first guest this morning is one of the most successful sports people our state has produced. He's the Kookaburras Games record holder and captain, and earlier this week led his team to its seventh consecutive Commonwealth Games gold medal while collecting a fourth of his own. His name is Eddie Ockenden, and he's been good enough to join us on The Water Boys this morning. Good morning, Ed. Congratulations, mate, and thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
What a couple of weeks you've had, mate. Is it all sunk in yet, what you've managed to achieve?
Yeah, probably not quite. I mean, it has gone really quickly the last few weeks. And also, a lot has happened in those last few weeks, so it's kind of funny just to think about now. I'm back in Perth. We're back in Australia just to think about, I guess, the last few weeks, the games and everything else. That's it was a pretty nice time.
Well, let's go back to the start. And, of course, the flag bearer role was the first thing you did in Birmingham. That must have been an amazing experience. And I guess it's something you don't expect, but nice when it comes along.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's sort of what I said at the time. It's like I know how to prepare for games. I know how to go and train and get ready for the matches. And then something like that you just don't prepare for. You don't expect it ever to happen, I think. Yeah, something like that is just something you don't know what to do and until you sort of have to do it. And, it was a very unique situation that I found myself in, and I was really thankful to have a team with me, because I would have been a bit more nervous on my own. But having all my team there and the hockey crew, that's what made it even probably more special.
How heavy was it? Because I've heard a few people say it's not as easy to carry as it looks.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people said. There was obviously a lot of former flag bearers helping with the Common Games Australia, and they were sort of saying, you know, it's really heavy, it's really heavy. And I was sort of trying to prepare myself for that, and then obviously sharing it with Rachel, you sort of only have one hand on it, so it just makes it a bit more awkward. It's sort of top heavy rather than heavy. But yeah, it's certainly by the end of it, I was sort of like, can we swap sides and change arms? It was just a strange sort of heavy.
Now, of course, your Kookaburras had a dominant tournament, a tough semi against England, but were you surprised how easy you're able to get the job done against India in the final?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a great scoreline, and I think we're really happy. I mean, incredibly proud to be able to put a performance like that on the final with the hockey teams. We always sort of look at the start of the tournament, and you want to be playing in the final game on the final day, and that means you're in the final in the hockey competition. So we sort of aim to get there. There's a lot that goes into that, but that's our goal. We want to be there on the final day, and we want to be playing our best on that day. So I think to be able to put a performance in like that on the last day in the final, it's incredibly pleasing for us. And I think the scoreline sort of ticked over and took care of itself, because we just had, a pretty well-rounded full-team performance. Very pleasing not to give many chances away and no goals against. That's also really special.
And it must have been an amazing experience to be able to do it alongside your fellow Tasmanian Josh Beltz.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think he's improved so much over the last few years. He's been hard at work with the squad for a long time, and just to see him get some good rewards has been fantastic, and just to be able to play really well. Also great to see. It's fantastic having other Tasmanian athletes in the Kookaburra. It's been pretty consistently two or three in there, and it's really good to see hockey in Tasmania just keep producing some guys coming through. So that's really, really impressive from the hockey in Tasmania, just be able to produce the numbers that we've had in the Kookaburra. It's been fantastic.
Kookaburra's captain and gold medalist Eddie Okkonen is our very special guest on the Water Boys this morning. Ed, you're the most capped Australian now with 398 appearances post the Commonwealth Games. That must be a record you're really proud of.
I don't take it lightly, but it's sort of just seemed like it's gone along. I've enjoyed my whole hockey career. I still love training. And they're the things I guess I reflect on as well. Just the training, the times with my team after training, after tournaments, things like that. I probably will cherish a lot as well with the games that I've been able to play.
I've managed to catch a few interviews with you throughout the week, and the good news is you're not ready to retire just yet. You've got the Paris Olympics in your sights in 2024.
Yeah, that's right. I think after Tokyo, I sort of made the commitment to play, to keep playing, because I was really enjoying it. I thought my form was still good, and I thought I could still do it. And while I'm still playing well, I said I'd keep playing. And I think it's only fair to commit to the next Olympic cycle. At the time, it was 3 years away, so I thought it was only fair to the team that I would commit to the whole time. And if I'm still playing well, then I'll give myself a chance to be selected. But it still seems a little bit further away than it, around the corner. It's still a few years away. But yeah, definitely looking forward to the squad preparing for that Olympics. I think I mentioned it in some interviews that we had a really young team in Tokyo, guys that have improved so much over the last few years, and I really feel like those guys are going to take the team on and to greater things. So I feel like where the squad is at the moment and the coaching that we have is just the beginning for the team, and really bright future for the team. So it's really exciting.
Now, of course, the next thing on your agenda is the Hockey One season, which is coming up, and you'll be suiting up for the Tassie Tigers, which we're really excited about. Gee, it's been a tough couple of years for the Hockey One organisers, hasn't it, not being able to have the tournament proceed due to COVID?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I really feel for the guys that have been trying to push for the Australian squads that have really lacked that Hockey One experience and exposure, and also the kids in under 21s. They had a few tournaments cancelled for a few years, so it's been really tough for those emerging players, and I think it's going to be great for them to to be able to play this Hockey One and sort of showcase their improvement and push their case forward, and also just to get away with the Tassie boys. I mean, it's a great competition. We really love it as the Tigers, so it's always good to play games in Hobart, but also see all the Tassie guys. And it's a really unique, I guess, culture and team that we have, so I really do enjoy that.
Back on the Kookaburras, and what's the next 6 to 12 months look like from a national perspective?
Yeah, it's really exciting for us. We have a good break now, which is fantastic. We've got the Hockey One, where we'll disperse a little bit from the Kookaburra setup, and then we'll get back into training for our World Cup in India in January, which is a massive tournament. It's a hockey showpiece, and it's really one of the biggest tournaments that we can go to. So that's a huge event every 4 years, and we're really excited for that. I really can't wait to get stuck in training and improve with the guys and see if we can push the team to even better things. And it's going to be exciting time for us in this World Cup. And then I guess before you know it, you finish the World Cup and you're only sort of a year away from the Olympics. So it's a really exciting time. I think made even more exciting because of the lack of stuff we've been able to do for the last few years. So everyone's really keen.
Well, Eddie Ockenden, it's been magnificent to catch up with you this morning, my friend. Fantastic also to see you do your thing over in Birmingham. Another gold medal for your collection. I wish you all the very best, mate, and enjoy some downtime. We'll catch up soon.
Yeah, thanks, Brent. I appreciate the support so much, everyone in Tassie, especially you guys as well. So thank you very much.
What a wonderful human he is. Eddie Ockenden joining us on the Water Boys this morning. The Commonwealth Games gold medal rush continues next when Georgia Baker joins us here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania, thanks to McDonald's.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, crispy bacon and juicy Aussie beef. Try the quarter pounder bacon at Macca's. We just spoke to the great Eddie Ockenden, and it's now time to hear from one of our other star Commonwealth Games gold medalists. Our next guest won 3 of them. Yes, you heard that correctly. 3 gold medals at the Birmingham Games in cycling's team pursuit, points race and road race. She's a star Tasmanian. Her name is Georgia Baker, and I'm thrilled to say she's jumped on the line for a chat to us this morning on the Water Boys. Good morning, Georgia, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What an amazing few weeks you've had. How are you, first of all, and has everything sunk in yet?
It's been a whirlwind couple of weeks, to say the least. I'm actually in Mallorca at the moment with my family, so I've had a few days just to, like, really think about it and relax, and, I'm pretty happy, pretty stoked, but like any other sport, I suppose there's always the next and best thing coming. Just looking forward and hopefully can also make improvements and hopefully continue the good success as well.
Seems a funny thing to say that you can make improvements on 3 gold medals. Now, you've been a champion cyclist for a while. What were your expectations heading to Birmingham?
For me, it was actually, I was unsure, to be honest. The preparation that I had leading into Birmingham was really different than anything I'd had before. So this year I signed pro with Bike Exchange Jayco, which is a women's professional cycling team, and we race on the European scene. So it was my first year, so the training that I was doing was really, really different to anything that I had done before. So for me, getting back onto the track, I pretty much had a whole year off the track since Tokyo. So I joined the team, which was a really fresh new team. I'd only raced with Maeve Plouffe prior. And, so I joined them 2 weeks before competition in Newport. We had a little bit of a training camp there. And so that was the only time I'd spent on the track. I suppose the one thing that's a positive and a bonus is that I've been riding the track for, since 2008, I think it was, or 2010 since I first started riding. So I definitely hadn't lost that. So I was able to jump back into the Teams Pursuit team and then just to see how I would back up from a really big competition. You know, it was a 2-week competition. So I raced on the velodrome and then had to jump across to the road team in Birmingham. So my preparation was really different. It was the first time I'd raced a time trial as well since I was a junior. So there was a lot of new things. And to be honest, it was a bit of a trial and error with preparation, making sure that I targeted everything that I was also competing in. So the training is quite different.
Listening to that, does that make what you've achieved these past few weeks even more special then?
Yeah, no, it is. It's super special, but also really positive as well. I think previously within Cycling Australia and our history, it's been really hard to manage both track and road. And it's kind of, you've had to choose if you want to be a track cyclist or a road cyclist, or a lot of athletes actually start off on the track, but you lose such talented athletes because they want a career on the road, and we just haven't been able to do that within Cycling Australia. And I think mainly because of the distance between Europe and Australia is a real issue. But now hopefully that we can step forward, and we've got a lot of like young Australians that are signing pro as well. So hopefully we can make things work, and you can see that there's so many people, like my boyfriend Luke Platt was in the same situation, and he had really good success at this Commonwealth Games as well. So hopefully now we can see that both the track and road can work really well, and we can have some really successful and great results for Australia.
Sounds like you don't have any plans to ditch either one moving forward, then you hope to make both work?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I started my career on the track, and so I'd love to finish it on the track as well. So, and the road is like something I've always wanted to do, but it's just the way my career is kind of going, and the path that I've taken has just been more on the track. So, yeah, I've never been able to do both, but now that's really promising, and it just makes it a little bit more exciting for me as well. So, after years and years and years of going 9 to 5 at the velodrome, it's nice to be able to do something different as well. And that's, I suppose, you have longevity in everyone's career as well that way.
Georgia Baker, champion cyclist, 3-time Commonwealth Games gold medalist at the recent Birmingham Games, joining us on the Water Boys this morning. Georgia, for those that don't know the difference between the team's pursuit and the points race, give us a quick rundown of how it works.
Yeah, for sure. So the team's pursuit's a 4-kilometre event. And it's a timed event, so it's quite controlled. So you have yourself and 3 other teammates on the track, and you just have to go as fast as you can for 4 kilometres, and it's pretty straightforward. The fastest time wins, but there's a lot to it. Pacing, you also have to have really smooth wind, and also making sure that an aerodynamics as well plays a huge factor. But then on the point score, it's 100 laps. Sorry, I nearly got it wrong. 100 laps. A sprint every 10, and it's more of a long endurance race and a lot of tactics as well. So you don't want to go out too hard and sprint too hard or try and take a lap too early and then find that you have nothing in the end. So things can change really rapidly in a point score. So, yeah, very, very tactical.
Now, I like to ask this of certain people that have had some success. What do you do with your medals? Do you tuck them away under your bed or in a drawer? Do you have them on display? What do you do?
I'm a little bit of a half and half, I have to say. I don't know, when I was probably younger in my career, like early days, I would display my jerseys and my medals. And then as time passed, I've like kind of tucked them away. But then I suppose the last couple of years of my career, I find that wins are pretty rare and you need to soak them up and make the most of that opportunity and really celebrate your success, because in elite sport, they don't really come around that often. So I think now I've kind of turned back again and I'm more of a display kind of girl. So I've got my medals back in Girona where I'm based. And I actually live with, so my boyfriend Luke, who's also a cyclist, and my best friend Alex Manley, who's also a cyclist. So we have a spare room where we're displaying all our medals and all the results that we've had this year. So it's actually really nice to go in there and have some perspective if you're not having a great day or things didn't work out. So yeah, that's what we're doing now.
Before I let you go, what do the next 12 months look like for you? You got a bit coming up?
So I'm hoping to be back in Australia, actually, in September. We have our World Championship on the road in Wollongong. So that's in September, but selections haven't been made yet. So I'm hoping to be selected. Haven't been back to Australia since February, so I'm craving to get back home. And then for me, I've also got the Track World Championships in October, so I'll be coming back to Europe, and they're in Paris, which is on the Olympic Velodrome, so they're pretty important. And then the summer of cycling, so back in Australia through Christmas, all the way from February, I'll be flying back to Europe and starting the European scene again in the classics, and trying to do everything a little bit better than I did this year, so...
Well, Georgia, I know you're on holidays, so thank you so much for giving up your time for us on the Water Boys this morning. Congratulations again on everything you've achieved the past few weeks, and appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
There she goes. Georgia Baker joining us on the Water Boys. 3 gold medals in Birmingham. What an achievement. Plenty more still to come on the Water Boys this morning. We'll be stacked with footy in hour two. But up next, we turn our attention to the pool and chat with rising swimming star Matilda Smith here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Macca's.
This is the Water Boys.
Brent Costello and Cam Brown with you on this Saturday morning, August 13, 2022. It is the Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the My Macca's app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year. We're lucky enough to be joined on the phone now by one of our star swimmers from Tasmania. It is Matilda Smith, who's off to compete at Jewel in the Pool up in Sydney later this week. Matilda, welcome back to the Water Boys.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to have you on. Now, Jewel in the Pool, it sounds exciting. For those that don't know, just give us a brief rundown of what Jewel in the Pool is.
Yeah, so they've brought the meet back this year, and it'll basically be an Australian team versus an American team, and we'll just, there'll be a whole bunch of traditional events and some relays and some non-traditional events. We'll get points for our races, and yeah, hopefully we'll beat the American team and come out on top.
That's exciting. Now, I think you're the only Tasmanian in it, Ariane Titmus. I think I've seen she's holidaying after the Comm Games. But
yeah.
Some of our stars from Birmingham will be joining you in that Australian team, the likes of Cody Simpson and Emma McKeon and people like that. Do you get starstruck when you're around these people, or do you see them as just teammates these days?
Oh, no, definitely. This is like the first time I've been on a really big Australian team with a whole bunch of like the Olympians and the Comm Games and world swimmers. So just to be selected onto this team is just an amazing opportunity, and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
And Matilda, tell us about that selection process. When did you find out about this?
So I had the opportunity to nominate myself for selection a few months ago, and then it was only last Sunday that I opened the email saying that I was part of the team. Yeah, super exciting.
And Matilda, we spoke to you a few months ago now on the Water Boys. What has the last 6 months looked like for you personally? And I guess post the Jewel on the Pool, the second part of that question, what is your personal goals moving forward for swimming?
So after Nationals this year, I was lucky enough to make one of the Australian A teams that went to America and competed just a few weeks ago at US Nationals over there, which was my first international competition. Yeah, and then so after this meet next weekend, I'll have open short course nationals the week after, and then just a little bit of a break until hopefully my road to Paris in 2024.
And so, Matilda, are you guaranteed to swim once you get up there, or is it a selection of who goes against who, or just tell us about that?
I honestly have no idea. You know, even if I'm not swimming, I'm still a part of the team, which is just amazing, and I'm super honoured to be racing.
Absolutely. No, it's an unbelievable experience for you, and wish you all the very best. We'll be watching on with interest, and thanks again for joining us on the Water Boys. I wish you all the best up in Sydney.
No, thank you so much.
Matilda Smith joining us on the Water Boys this morning. She is a superstar, and you'll hear that name for the many years to come as far as swimming is concerned. That's the end of a big first hour, Cam. We've packed plenty in there. Eddie Ockerton, Georgia Baker and Matilda all joining us, but plenty to come in hour number two.
Yeah, we have, and a couple of big interviews with Michael Cassidy and Hugh Williams in particular.
That's next here on the Water Boys after news, sport and weather. We're doing all this thanks to our great friends at McDonald's.
No matter what the sport, where it's played or the teams behind it, we've got it. This is the Water Boys.
Massive first hour of the Water Boys, but plenty more still to come in hour number two. Cameron Brown, run us through the lineup, please.
Well, plenty to talk about in the AFL world, Brent. Gee, Cripps, that was a big story during the week, wasn't it? Alistair Clarkson, is he going to go to North Melbourne? We'll talk about that after the break. We're going to be talking to Michael Cassidy ahead of their big game today against Brighton. The Lindisfarne Football Club coach of the SFL, and Hugh Williams ahead of his 200th game today against North Launceston. Brent, they're probably a sneaky chance, I would have thought, against North Lonnie today, North Hobart. They'll probably get a bounce from Hughie's 200th, you'd hope.
Yeah, I reckon they might too, Brownie. They played okay last time in one quarter particularly, so they backed themselves in, I reckon, to do it for their one of their favourite sons. Also got $100 suspended into sport to give away with our Good Sport Award. We go and take a look at the Water Boys Time Warp, open the birthday book, have a look at the NPL hockey and a few other things to finish the show. That's all coming up for you in hour two of the Water Boys here right across Tassie. Thanks to Maccas.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys, doing it all thanks to our great friends at McDonald's. Crispy bacon and juicy Aussie beef. Try the quarter pounder bacon at Maccas.
Turning their attention to the national game, it's the Water Boys AFL Wrap.
Well, Brandy, one big talking point this week was Patrick Cripps at the tribunal. I think it went 4 hours and 40 minutes, the appeals hearing. What did you make of that, please?
Oh, I thought it was a bit baffling, Brent. I thought 2 weeks was about right originally when I saw the action and the suspension. But for me, it's a worrying precedent for mine. When you can knock someone out, so to speak, and he wasn't trying to take a mark or anything like that. So or grab or spoil the ball. And then for him to get off, I was pretty surprised with that. But when I was listening to it, the longer it seemed to be that the appeal was going, I thought the better it was for Patrick Cripps, and that's how it turned out to be.
It opens a real can of worms, doesn't it, you'd think, moving forward. So we'll wait and see what happens with Brad Crouch last night too. Similar sort of incident that'll be a talking point during the week. There's no doubt about that. Hey, what about Alistair Clarkson? It sounds like it's imminent that he will take the job at North Melbourne, which is just a huge signing. If North can pull this off, it'd be a big deal. I think they've offered a 5-year deal, so pretty exciting stuff if you're a Kangaroos fan, I reckon.
Yeah, and we're hearing he's assembling his team around him, and such as his aura and achievements in the game, he's able to do that, isn't he? So if we're what reading is true, Brent, what we're hearing in the media, it looks like Adam Uze is the front runner at GWS, and we're expecting Alistair Clarkson to go to North Melbourne with his team and a major sponsorship deal, I'm hearing too, that may be co-announced with something coming along next week. So, look, it'd be a great fillip for the North Melbourne Football Club to get Alistair Clarkson. Good news from a Tassie perspective during the week, Brent. Lachie Weller now re-signing with Gold Coast.
Yeah, it is a good signature for them to get, isn't it? Because they're trying to keep this young list together. We know Isaac Rankin could be on the move. So for him to commit to a long-term deal, that's magnificent for the footy club. Some big retirement news during the week. Cam Ben McAvoy is pulling stumps at the end of the season. He's been a wonderful servant for the game, the Hawthorn captain. And Josh Kennedy from Sydney. So we had the two Josh Kennedys. Have shared the name during their careers, and they've shared the same retirement week as well.
Yeah, terrific career, I would have thought, for Ben McAvoy. Fork in the road when he went to Hawthorn, ended up captaining the club, played in a couple of premierships. And Josh Kennedy, one of the great finals players, I would have thought, in the last 10 or 15 years for Sydney Swans. He's had a stellar career. Interesting, Brent, Brady Grundy, is he going to go to Melbourne, I read, with interest?
Well, maybe you should be looking at Hawthorn now, Brownie, with McAvoy
going.
They
might be an option. Yeah, they've been mooted.
Yeah. Melbourne, imagine the ruck combination there with Gorn and Grundy, though. That would be if Jackson does go, of course, to Fremantle, like we probably expect him to do. That's a bit of a watch and see. What about Ben Cunnington's news during the week too? He's making his comeback against the Adelaide Crows this weekend for North Melbourne. What a story. He's battled, I think, two bouts of testicular cancer, and to get back to the highest level is no mean feat.
Yeah, and he's had a number of minor injuries too and setbacks along the way, apart from the testicular cancer. So you would hope that North Melbourne get a response to the fact that their spiritual leader's back on the ground today. That's a real inspirational story.
So many good games this weekend that have an impact on the finals, but I think the two that stick out for me is tonight's at the MCG. Obviously, Paddy Cripps takes his spot in this Carlton team now. Up against Melbourne, 4th versus 7th. This will be an absolute ripper tonight.
I think Carlton might win this, Brent, in an upset.
And, do you really?
Yep, I do. And I think we'll wake up tomorrow morning and the story will be that they've made the finals for the first time in a number of years.
There you go. That would be some sort of upset and be some question marks around Melbourne if that is the case. That would be two losses in a row for the Ds if that does come true, or your prediction does come true. And the other one tomorrow, this will be a ripper at the SCG. Collingwood, who's now in third after Brisbane's win last night, take on Sydney. Well, gee, right off the pies at your own peril, Brownie, because everyone's doing it. And even when they look down and out in a game, they can fight their way back and get the job done.
That'll be a terrific game. Really looking forward to that one. Brent, we know what Collingwood have achieved this season, but you know I've been bullish on the Swans all year, Brent. I think they can just about win the flag. So I'll go Sydney.
That is our AFL wrap. We want to turn our attention to local footy next. Huey Williams from North Hobart, not too far away. He runs out for game number 200 this afternoon. But up next, it's been a big week for the Lindisfarne Footy Club, and the coach, Michael Cassidy, joins us next here on The Water Boys right across Tassie, thanks to Maccas.
This is The Water Boys.
Welcome back to The Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, crispy bacon and juicy Aussie beef. Try the quarter pounder bacon at Maccas. Time for this now.
It's now time for the Water Boys Regional Footy Roundup.
Been a big week for the Lindisfarne Footy Club with Jack Gleeson unfortunately deregistered after going past the 16-game threshold. And joining us on the line now to have a chat about that and also just how well his club's going in season 2022 is the coach of the Lindisfarne Footy Club, Michael Cassidy. Morning, Cass. Welcome to the Water Boys.
Morning, Deb. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us, mate. As I said, a really tough week for your footy club with Jack unfortunately no longer being able to take part in your season and in the future. First of all, how is Jack, mate? And, it must be a pretty tough time for him personally.
Yeah, he's obviously pretty flat and sort of not sure what to do with himself, I think. So he's taken it pretty hard, as you'd expect. Footy's a big part of his life and he came to training on Thursday night and got around the boys and seemed in reasonably good spirit. It's going to take a little while for it to set in, but he's getting there and we'll rally around him and make sure that he's all right.
What can he actually do now, mate, moving forward, I guess? Can he be part of the group on game day? Is he allowed to be in the rooms, etc., or is that not allowed to be anywhere near that? And a second part to that question, how do you as a coach make sure this isn't a distraction, because as we know, you're going so well this season as a group?
Yeah, we've sort of rang George Callis on Tuesday just to get some clarification around exactly what he's allowed to do. So at the minute, he's not allowed on the ground as a coach or in any sort of football capacity. So he's, so what he does off the field, I suppose, is up to us. He's just not allowed on the field to play at any time during the match as a coach. So we're just waiting to find out whether there's any way we can change that to get him, because he's been obviously pretty vital for me as a coach. He's our midfield coach. He's our captain. So I sort of still want him on there to do bits and pieces. So I mean, he can still do, like, he can still be in the rooms and stuff with the boys and get them up before the game and half time and stuff like that. So we'll do that.
Talking to Lindisfarne Football Club coach Michael Cassidy this morning on The Water Boys. Cass, a really interesting game if we turn our attention to today against Brighton, who have a bit to play for. So if they win and a bit of luck goes their way in that New Norfolk Hobart game, they can make the finals. And we know that obviously you're going to finish on top of the ladder. But how have you assessed Brighton's form this season? Because it looks like they've really improved.
Yeah, they have. PK's got them going really well out there. He's got some really good kids that he's recruited from, obviously, Clarence and stuff like that, that are going really well and had some really good class to them. So I think we took them a little bit lightly at home the first time round, and they sort of got the jump on us and stayed with us. And if you let young sides do that, then you know that they'll stay in the game for as long as you let them. So we'll obviously come out. Our contested ball is probably, we lacked against Dodgers last week, so we really want to rectify that and go in and make sure we're pretty physical and win the contested footy.
And a bit for you to go still, Cass. I know the team's undefeated this year and you'll be having an eye on the finals in a couple of weeks' time, but you must be really pleased with how the season's gone. Josh Green's been fantastic for you as a deep forward. So how have you assessed the season to date? And what about yourself, mate, moving forward? You're still keen to keep continuing coaching beyond this year?
That's something I'll have a chat with the footy club about over the next couple of weeks and see what they want to do. It sort of really depends on how the year ends, I suppose, and then we'll make the decision at the end of the year. But I'm really enjoying this year. As you said, we've had a really good year By no means am I satisfied about how we've gone. I think we really need to push. Speaking to the boys on Thursday night, you sort of say, look, we've done well to get where we are now, but that means nothing if we don't put it together over the next 4 weeks to get what we set out to do. And we'll hopefully lift the intensity of training and get them kicking over a little bit better, just to sharpen our stuff heading into finals. And as you said, Greeny's been huge for us down forward, and you can throw him in the middle if we're getting beaten at stoppages. So he's really added a lot to me, especially as a coach. Just the little things he brings. Obviously, being in the AFL system, he's brought a lot of good things for us training wise and game day wise. So it's been really good.
And as we said, Cass, you get the week off next week, regardless of what happens with any result today. Is that a good thing, a chance to freshen up the bodies before a big finals campaign?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a perfect time just to have a week off and just make sure that get those little niggles right, if anyone's got any, and look forward to hopefully whoever it is playing against each other and hopefully it's a slog and they have a fair crack at each other and get some sore bodies for the next week. So look, it's always a plus having that first week off in finals. And we sort of set out probably 5-6 weeks ago, we realised that we're in a really good position to finish on top and get that week off. So we sort of set ourselves for that and it's paid off so far.
Well, mate, it's been a big week for your club. We know that. So we do appreciate your time on the Water Boys this morning. And all the best for the next month or so. It's going to be pretty exciting for your footy club and good luck.
Thanks, gents. Cheers. Appreciate it.
Michael Cassidy, the coach of the Lindisfarne Footy Club, joining us on the Water Boys. So, yeah, just repeating, it's probably game of the round down at Signet today. Signet in second, taking on Dodgers Ferry third. If Dodgers win that, it's likely to be Signet and Dodgers again in the first round of finals next week. But the more likely scenario probably would be Signet to win today, Huonville to beat Hobart, you'd think, and Signet to host Huonville next week, which would be enormous brownie to have that Huon derby in the first week of the finals.
Yeah, really exciting for the competition, hasn't it? And if, as you said, if the matches go that way and that's the way it looks, it's really exciting for SFL footy.
Absolutely. Small chance Brighton can still play finals as well, of course, if it can somehow beat Lindisfarne today and Sorrell lose to New Norfolk. But if results go the way we expect, it's likely to be a Dodgers v Sorrell elimination next week, which again, the South East Derby or the Battle of the Causeway, I think they like to call it these days, that will be huge as well. Women's game of the round two, it's the first week of finals this week, Cam, which is good. Two big games today.
Yeah, North Hobart versus Clarence, so for a spot in the grand final. That one's after the main game today in the TSL at 4:45. And then Glenorchy versus Kingborough, so the winner will play in the prelim against the loser of that North Hobart-Clarence game. That one's at midday today, Brent.
Looking forward to a big day of SFL footy in southern Tasmania. Plenty of other footy going on around the state as well. We'll get to that next. We'll also catch up with Hugh Williams, who's running out for game number 200 for his beloved North Hobart side. That's next here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Matt.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the My Macca's app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year.
The Water Boys, talking all things TSL.
Yes, big round, penultimate round of the TSL this afternoon, and while this man's club can't make the finals, there's plenty to celebrate at North Hobart Oval today. He's running out for game number 200, which is a fantastic milestone. Of course, I speak of Hugh Williams, who's been good enough to jump on the Water Boys this morning. Huey, congratulations, mate, on a wonderful achievement.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brett. It should be a very exciting day.
Tell us about it, mate. The build-up's been pretty big. You did some media during the week. We saw a video come out yesterday with some of your old teammates and some of your old coaches. What's it feel like, I guess, the build-up?
I was thinking about it last night. It's been a really nice week. It's been, you know, really, really special, and, you know, a lot of nice messages and phone calls I've received during the week. So, yeah, I feel really, really proud to play 200 games. I'm really grateful, to be honest. So, yeah, no, it's been a very special week.
Now, I think you've announced that this will be your last season, and obviously next weekend's the last round. I asked Clinton French during the week if this is it today, you go out in the even 200, but he said you're not the type of guy that would do that, so you'll play the 201st game next week before hanging up the boots?
Yeah, look, I'll if I get through fine, absolutely I'll play. Halfway through the year, to be honest with you, I didn't think I was going to get here. I had a bit of a hamstring injury, and first had an MRI, and the first report was I needed surgery. So thankfully, saw a surgeon, and he didn't think we needed to operate. I went to work with our physio at Hamish Anderson at the club, and yeah, just really grateful to get back, to be honest, and tick the two games off.
And Hugh, when you look back on 200 games, it's over 9 or 10 years at the club, no doubt. What are some of the highlights for you personally?
Yeah, look, I was always, I think captaining the club was a really, a real highlight of mine. I took that, I was captaining the club for 7 years, I think. So, that was one of the definite highlights. And, obviously we haven't tasted that ultimate success. However, just thinking about it this week and, hearing from old teammates and coaches, just the relationships you build along the way. Like, I'm lucky enough to have, four or five really, really close mates from the footy club. And, I think that's pretty special. So, just the people you meet along the way and, those lifelong bonds, which I think, while footy clubs and sporting clubs are so important.
And just a two-part question from me too, Huey. How have you assessed the club this season? There was probably some expectations going in that maybe the club might have finished a little bit higher up the ladder based on, some of the improvement and the expected improvement, particularly on some of the youngsters coming through. How have you assessed it? And is it quite where you thought it might be coming in 12 months ago? And what about yourself moving on from TSL footy this year? We know you've been an outstanding leader for the footy club. Are you going to still be involved in footy somewhere, and is coaching something that interests you?
Yeah, no, well, just on the first part, I feel like, there's no sugarcoating. I think we haven't had the year that we would have expected, especially in pre-season. But I still think we are a very young group, so we've had those ups and downs. And I'll always say this, but the wins and losses mightn't see it, but I think there has been real improvement, and there's been real improvement across the group in terms of buying with the guys. And I feel like we talk about leadership, and that was probably on one or two last year. I feel like as across the board, that's really spread out. And I think we had big Jack McCallick, who just hasn't had a crack at it at TSL. He went down round one, centre half forward ruckman. And that really is throughout our structure for the year. And we've been playing catch-up ever since there, I think. But I feel like there's going to be, probably in the coming weeks, there's going to be some really exciting news out of the footy club with the commitment from the group. And it's definitely heading in the right direction under Frenchie. He's been brilliant with me as an older guy and supporting me. And, we've got a young family at home, so I can't be there all the time. But there's never been any issues with him. It's always been fine. You just get here when you can. So under his leadership, the club's definitely heading in the right direction. In terms of me in the future, I had this conversation with Frenchie a couple of times. I'm just not ready to put my hand up for an actual role. Like, I'd love to be an assistant coach, but I know that what the time is required for that role. And with a young family, I just can't give it. And I owe my wife, Tani, a few Saturdays, I think. So I won't be doing anything officially. But I have told Frenchie that I'm really keen to do some unofficial roles at the club, and but not that set role going forward.
Well, Hughie, it's a magnificent achievement, mate. As I said off the top, 200 games, it's a lot, and you should be really proud of the career you put together. Good luck against North Lonnie today. We know it's a team that the D's match up pretty well against. Hopefully the boys get the win for you, and thanks for joining us on such a big day, mate.
Yeah, no, thanks, Brett. Thanks, Cam. And, have a good show. Thank you.
Hugh Williams joining us here on the Water Boys, the milestone man from North Hobart, running out for game number 200 this afternoon. That one's at North Hobart Oval at 2 o'clock. Brownie, can the D's get it done for Hughie, do you think?
I think they'll definitely get a bounce. I think they'll be right in this game for a long period of time. I do like North Launceston's in. The players of the like of Campbell coming back as well. They won't get Leary. Cowan, we know, is a star. So they've got a pretty strong team, North Launceston. I think North Lonnie just in a close one.
We've got Launceston and the Tigers. Bit going on in the build-up to this game during the week where a letter was sent to Windsor Park to Mitch Thorpe. We're not quite sure who sent it, but it said, "We are coming," and it was a picture of Marcus Gardner, and created a bit of a nice build-up to the game. But the Tigers, any chance here? Kieran Lovell won't play, and they're back there in a couple of weeks' time for the qualifying final. So it's a bit of a dress rehearsal for that.
Yeah, I think Launceston will be too strong at home. Brent, the Tigers also lost Sam Doggan during the week, so hopefully they'll get him and Lovell back for the finals. But no, Launceston comfortably today.
Tomkinson also out too for the Tigers. And Clarence Glenorchy, you'd expect Clarence to win that one. Brownie, off the back of Ace Cornelius re-signing during the week, which is a big tick for the Magpies.
Yeah, it was a big tick in the last quarter too for Glenorchy, wasn't it? 5 goals against the Tigers, which is the most they'd kicked in a quarter all season, I would have thought. But they'll be up against Clarence today. They'll have their work cut out. But let's hope for them they get a bit of momentum from that last quarter from a Glenorchy perspective.
Let's hop around the state to the NTFA. First week of finals, St Pat's has the week off after finishing a game clear on top. So in the qualifying final this afternoon, Lilydale hosting Old Scotch from 2 o'clock. And in the other final, the elimination, East Coast versus Old Launcestonians. That's at St Helens from 2 o'clock. In the women's game of the round, it's the last round of the season, a possible grand final preview between South Bonnie, who's in first spot, versus Meander Valley, who are second. That one's on at Youngtown this morning. NWFL, Brownie?
Yeah, big one today at Dial Park, 2:20 p.m. Penguin third versus Ulverston six. So that'll be the game of the round. If Ulverston can cause an upset, they'd have to make up a whopping 18%, and they could sneak into the finals. But unlikely, but it is possible, Brent. And the likely matchup next week with Devonport with a week off would be Wynyard versus Penguin and Burnie versus La Trobe. Women's game of the round too. It's the last round. Finals matchups have already decided for next week. It'll be Ulverston versus Penguin and Wynyard versus Devonport. So unfortunately, La Trobe will miss the finals.
Yep, just the 5-team competition in the women's. So plenty of footy right around the state today. Enjoy it if you're getting out to have a look at it. Plenty more still to come on the Water Boys this morning. Up next, we take a look into the time warp. We open the birthday book. We give $100 out for our winner of the Good Sport Award to spend at Intersport. Plus, you wrap up the show with a few tidbits. That's next here on the Water Boys right across Tassie. Thanks to Matt.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys. Thanks to our great friends at McDonald's, Crispy Bacon and Juicy Aussie Beef. Try the Quarter Pounder Bacon at Macca's. Brent Costello and Cam Brown with you on this Saturday morning. It's time for our favourite segment now.
Who's been doing the hard yards this week? Thanks to McDonald's, it's time to announce the next winner of the Water Boys Good Sport Award.
Yeah, the winner of the Good Sport Award this week, Brent, is Jesse Frost. Now, Jesse has been nominated by Ross Stewart. Jesse's involved in football, and it's the fourth year in a row he's been the Signet's water boy for all the grades. He started at age 7 with his grandfather, Philip Wilcox, who's a life member of Signet Footy Club. He won the Catherine Hodgman Best Clubman Award 3 years ago, and he also helps fundraise and has been very passionate about the work done to support Ryan Wigan. So congratulations, Jesse Frost, this week's winner of the Good Sport Award, Brent.
Good on you, Jesse. You win $100 to spend at Intersport. Thanks to McDonald's. And if you'd like to nominate someone for our Good Sport Award, head to the website of the station you're listening to right now and nominate them. It could be a player, could be a coach, a volunteer, anyone doing a wonderful job in a local sporting community.
Looking back on this day in sport, it's the Water Boys Time Warp.
August the 13th, plenty happening on August the 13th. We go back to 1902, Brownie. The English cricket team beat Australia by 1 wicket in a famous victory at the Oval in London. In 1948, the United States successfully defended its Olympic basketball title with a 65-21 win over France at the London Games. So 21 in a basketball game. That's the lowest score ever heard.
Well, I'm guessing, was it shorter quarters, Brent? I'm just trying to be sympathetic to the players in that game.
Well, the other team got to 65, so I don't know how that works. But anyway, 1948 too, the Hungarian boxer Papp wins the first of three consecutive Olympic gold medals. That's not a bad effort, too. Three consecutive Olympic golds. In 1955, the great Louis Richards played his last game for Collingwood. He retired in 1955, Cam. That's extraordinary, isn't it? That's
a long time ago. Well, you forget about his decorated footy career. We know him as a doyen of media, and I grew up listening to Louis Richards and Peter Landy's footy commentators, but he had a distinguished footy career and leader at Collingwood Footy Club.
1966, on this day, the great Peter Percy Jones debuted for Carlton. In 1975, Viv Richards was out for 291 v England for the West Indies. That was a fine knock from Viv. 1983, Bernie Quinlan played his 300th game on this day for Fitzroy against Footscray, your mob, Brownie. In 1989, Greg Williams had 53 disposals for Sydney against St Kilda. That's not a bad effort.
A couple of Brownlow medalists there, Brent, Bernie Quinlan and Greg Williams, respectively.
Very true. Anthony Stevens, who's been in the news this week for a bit, you probably would have heard about that. He made his debut for North Melbourne in 1989 on this day. In 1991, a test cricket debut of Mike Whitney for Australia. He played that against England at Old Trafford. In 1993, Blue Jay Ricky Henderson pays Turner Ward $25,000 for his number 24. How about that? So he's forked out 25 grand so he can have the number 24.
Just to wear the number, Brett.
Yeah. Well, I can see it's probably a superstition or something potentially. Who knows? That's big money, though. How about this, Brandy? You'll be excited about this one. 1994, Luke Darcy debuted for Footscray. So just a week out from Sammy's son debuting, he debuted. So that would have been a nice synergy if it was the same week.
Well, three generations, too, of Darcy's, because Luke's father, Dave, also played over 100 games with the Footscray Footy Club.
Absolutely. In 1995, Plugger Lockett kicked 16 goals for Sydney against Fitzroy on August the 13th. In 1995, the PGA Championship men's golf was taken out by Aussie Steve Elkington. That was his first major title in a playoff with Scotsman Colin Montgomery. And in 2008, American super swimmer Michael Phelps, he won three gold medals, all in record time, all on the one day at the Beijing Games. That is quite extraordinary. And then 8 years later, in 2016, he retired on this day. So plenty happening for Michael Phelps on August 13th.
Which famous sports star was born on this day?
Happy birthday to you.
Let's open the Waterboys birthday book.
1939, John Nichols, the Carlton star, was born on this day. In 1960, Phil Taylor, Phil the Power Taylor. You know him, Brandy, the darts player?
I do know Phil Taylor, yes.
Yeah. He actually was here at Rest Point a couple of years ago. Managed to have a chat to Phil. He's an absolute superstar. World champion, of course, from 1995 to 2002. It's his birthday today. Alan Shearer. What are your memories of Alan Shearer, Brownie?
Well, he originally started at Southampton, Brett, and then moved across to Newcastle. Terrific player for England as well. Scored a lot from the header and a set piece.
Great broadcaster as well. He was born in 1970. Also born in 1970, Stephen Tingay from Melbourne. He was a good player back in the day, Stephen Tingay, as was Shoaib Akhtar, who was born in 1975. Pakistan cricket fast bowler, of course. 46 tests, 178 wickets. Best bowling of 6 for 11 for Shoaib Akhtar. In 1977, Michael Klim was also born on this day, Olympian, of course. And in 1979, Jonathan Hay, who had a fine career for Hawthorn and North Melbourne, was born on this day as well. We are almost at the end of the show, Cam. Plenty happening this morning that we've spoken about. Before we go, though, I want to remind everyone of our Ricky Ponting competition, which is still live until next Friday. We had the great punter on last week when you weren't here, Branny, but it was great to catch up with him. But we've got a couple of bottles of Ricky's wine to give away. And all you have to do is go onto the Facebook page of the station you're listening to right now and tell us what you'd ask Ricky if you sat down and had a drink of wine with him, what sort of question you'd ask him. And yeah, a couple of bottles of Ricky Ponting's wine could be yours. We'll announce the winners of those on next week's shows. Want to give a shout out to the Jack Jumpers Jump Squad, and our own Sarah Morrison from 7HLFM Breakfast runs this, and they're having auditions next Sunday, the 21st of August, from 10 till 12 midday at the Hutchins School, 71 Nelson Road in Sandy Bay. You've got to be 17 plus to be part of the Jump Squad, but what an experience it would be if you can be in the Jump Squad for the Jack Jumpers. There's no better atmosphere than out at MyState Bank Arena at a Jackies game, Brownie.
It'll come around pretty quick too, I would have thought, Brent, the Jack Jumpers season, only a few months away.
Well, not even that. I think it's October the 3rd, which is our, probably is a few months
away.
It is a few months. Sorry, Brownie. I'll get my dates right soon. Of course, if you want to catch up with the show today, it's been a big one. Make sure you hit up, again, the website of the station you're listening to us on right now. Look up our Water Boys page and we'll have some podcasts up there for you in the coming days and also some video as well. Big show. Brownie, thanks to Jono for jumping in and doing the panels for us today. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Blair Brown, this is next weekend for you. Have a great weekend and we'll catch you next Saturday morning.
Calling full time on 7HOF. FM's Water Boys. They'll be kicking goals again Saturday morning from 8. 101.7 7HOFM. 100% Hobart.